Fabulous, wasn't it? Yes. Did you listen carefully to the words? Do you know, my daughter was a great Michael Jackson fan. Did you know it was Michael Jackson? Yes, of course you did. Of course you did. She was a great Michael Jackson fan, and we used to hear this coming through the bedroom wall, you know, as it did, dum, 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 and all the rest of it. So I knew the tune. But until, and I'll talk to you about this in a moment, until I'd looked at the words, I hadn't realised how much James 1 is reflected in it. You know, Michael Jackson was a flawed genius, wasn't he? But, and it's great sadness that that genius didn't develop in a different way, because so much of that song was entirely biblical. And I do thank the band for putting that together, because I did send them a video clip, you know, with Michael Jackson doing, but they've exceeded Michael Jackson, apart from they didn't do the moonwalk. No. I felt for sure Gary would. Yeah, but so we're now going to read together. I always think it's nice to read together, isn't it? Because if I read too, you could... But when you read together, you see, we've all got to join in. So is the reading up there, dear boy? Thank you very much. Very kind. So here we go. This is James 1. Yes, it's probably quite familiar to you, but hopefully we can bring some different things out. So I'm talking and I'm starting with the man in the mirror. So would you like to read from there on? Let us do... God's teaching says,
don't just listen and do nothing. When we only sit and listen, we are fooling ourselves. Hearing God's teaching and doing nothing is like looking at your face in the mirror and doing nothing about what you saw.
Page 2. Time for a change. Off you go. Thank you very much. There was a slight paraphrase there, but I'm sure you'll find it in another version you may be more familiar with in the NIV or something like that. So let's have a look at this. I've got there, Redeeming the Secular. And as I said, I'm familiar with the tune because I'd heard it many, many times. But then when I looked at the words, I thought, what a reflection of James chapter 1. And how can I, as it were, get you to go away from this place and think about James chapter 1? I hope that the man in the mirror is going to keep coming back into your mind during the week. Wouldn't that be a nuisance to keep reminding yourself that don't just look in the mirror, but do something about it? So I tried to look around the world, because if you listen to the news, you could become depressed. Yeah? Yeah. But this news about the snow has been good, because we've seen, as it were, the heroes of the snow, haven't we? People who have dug their way through, people who've gone to their neighbours and all this sort of thing. And you begin to see how God is still at work in the world, because we need to elevate, as it were, the good things that the Lord brings to us. So when we're looking at all sorts of things, we can redeem the secular. You probably wouldn't necessarily think about Michael Jackson and a redeeming work, but the words are redeeming. Now, I don't know, some of you, if you have to do public speaking, the teachers have to do it all the time. And for me, I'm thinking now, what shall I talk about? And it was one of those strange moments. I was having a shave. You don't believe that, do you? But I do. Every morning I have a shave, because otherwise I wouldn't see out, would I? Yeah. And standing before the mirror, there was a moment of surprise, because Do you know, it's possible to look in the mirror but not see yourself. Isn't that strange? And there was a moment of surprise where I saw an old man looking back at me, and I thought, where did he come from? And I realized I was looking at my father. Isn't it? Have you ever had that experience? So you're looking at your father or your mother. Well, my father actually had a fine head of hair even to the point when he died. I don't. But it was the eyes. It was the eyes. And I thought, goodness, those eyes are so much like my father's eyes. And then all this thing started to flood into my mind. And I was thinking about the Michael Jackson song. And then I was thinking about James 1. So this is where this has all come from, me looking in the mirror, starting with the man in the mirror. Now, look, is anybody here never looked in the mirror? No? Have you looked in the mirror? Now, my wife looks in the mirror, and as you know, she has a darker skin, and when we're in Spain, the Spaniards go up to her and go, in Spanish, like that. And she says, sorry, I don't speak Spanish. But so she has the colouring of a Spanish person. And she also has the skin, because she can go out in the sun and it doesn't affect her, you know. So, but sometimes she's sitting in front of the mirror and she exclaims, "Olé!" And it's not anything to do with Spain. It's to do, you know what it is, don't you? It comes in a jar. Yeah. Put it on a face, yeah? And going through that experience of Olay, and I'm thinking behind this, the advertising is the most beautiful woman you can imagine, can you? And she's probably no more than 25. And it says sort of underneath there, "I've been using Olay all my life." And I think, you haven't lived very long, have you? And not only is she perfectly beautiful, they've airbrushed out any little bits and pieces. Now, here's the good news, is that when God looks upon us, he does not look upon the outward thing, does he? He looks upon us as if we were perfect. He airbrushes us out as he would like to be. Now, I think that sometimes women actually have the advantage over men, because we don't know about Olay, do we? And this is where I can introduce you to a cheaper version, for men mainly. It's a product called wax oil, and the basic ingredient of it is lanolin. And lanolin, and wax oil is what we gentlemen do. We crawl under our cars to rough-proof them. Gary doesn't have to, because he only keeps his cars about a week. But but some of us have to crawl, spray the springs. And it's lanolin there, and you should wear gloves. But I found it, actually, wax oil. Do you know it? Gents, do you know wax oil? Excellent product. Yes, good man. Your hands become beautifully soft, and that's the benefit. The only trouble is you smell of paraffin. But can you see that there are ways of improving our appearance, but God always looks on the heart. Now we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. And it says here, looking in the mirror and changing your mind. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." That's a struggle, isn't it? The same mind as his. Jesus came to us as a servant in the likeness of men. Now, we've seen people in this now acting as servants. They've been acting selflessly. We don't see it all the time. But can you see how, almost from a secular world, you feel the power of God coming through? "He was humble and became obedient to death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." This is the scripture that I would base on the way that God looks at us in perfection. He looks at the changed mind that Jesus brings about. He doesn't look on the outward. He doesn't look how old we are or all the other things, because we are such a visual world now. And people take pictures of their faces and their dinner and they put it on the media and everything else. Why would you want to do that? But of course they do. And then of course, if your face isn't the same as somebody else's face, you sort of get sidelined. I mean, I'm completely sidelined, as you can appreciate. I'm in what they call a minority. Yeah. Now, so that's an important part of the Word of God there, which we've just seen, because I'm now going to take looking in the mirror of your heart, a moment of reflection, and that's our next slide. So looking in the mirror of your heart. Now, have I told you some, I've probably told you, bored you many times, that I was brought up amongst the brethren. Yeah, very, very special people we were. Yeah. But my parents took very seriously every aspect of the Word of God. And my parents didn't agree with looking in the mirror longer than necessary because they thought it would be vanity. Isn't that interesting? I probably got this thing where I don't look at myself properly in the mirrors because from my parents, that it was sort of an obsession if you kept looking in the mirror thinking, hey, what, hello, handsome, yeah, or oh, hello, beautiful. And you can see where that would go, but, you know, that may have been a bit of an extreme expression of it. But the other thing is that my parents didn't like having pictures taken of themselves because, there again, they thought it was vanity. But I'm not talking about that sort of aspect because what we're talking here in a moment of reflection, that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, this is where it comes from, you see. The appearance is in the heart. That's what God is looking at. He's looking at the heart. And God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth. Do you remember those gifts from the giant called Bob? Yeah, all those gifts. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Can you see how this picture is building up? God is looking inwards into the heart. Now, we're going to do something that you may find immediately a bit trivial, because you're serious people, but I want to take you down this road because it'll be good for you. So let's have a look at what I call the coolness test. Now, do you understand that when I was young, cool was about the weather we've just experienced, but it has a different meaning. If you don't, has everybody understood that the word cool has changed its meaning? I can look around. You see, I can look around and I put my spectacles on deliberately because I can see some of you are cool. Some of you are like me, uncool, right? But don't worry about that. So I thought, well, what is this coolness all about? So I went on, I Googled. Do you Google? Yes, many Google. And so I Googled. And I've taken a few extracts from about 100 questions that you have to answer. So, you know, this is only just a sample, things that probably amused me more. So the first thing is, do you have strong confidence? Because that's cool, yeah? Strong confidence. Oh, you're all cool, I can see that. Do you have any tattoos? I don't know, no. So we start to become uncool because apparently to be cool you have to have tattoos. How many leather jackets do you own? I don't own any. Moving to coolness. Yeah. You got one? Cool. No? 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 Are you rich? Are you rich? And I know we're all rich in some ways, but are you rich seems to be cool, but actually if you can display bling. Do you know bling? Yes. If you display bling, it is better than being rich. You pretend to be rich and therefore you're cool. It's quite complicated, isn't it? But bear with. Have you ever met a celebrity? Well, I used to meet John Gummer on a regular basis. Who did you meet?
Joanna Lumley.
Wow. Oh, my hero. What a wonderful woman. Yes. Have you ever met? He's becoming cool, you see? Yeah. How many times a month do you go out dancing or nightclubbing? I haven't yet. So, some of you rascals, yes. so cool but so tiring, I've put. Do you keep up with the latest tech trends? Well, I answer that as yes, because I got an air source heat pump, I've got PV panels, and I've got solar panels. But that wasn't the right answer, because it's to do with Twitter, Snapchat. So I actually scored there where I shouldn't have done. So I admit that, you know, I cheated a little bit. Do you know how to cook? Gentlemen, it is now cool. I expect you know how to cook. You met General Lamont, yeah. You see, it's all coming together, all very understandable. Do you not, Gary, do you not know how to cook?
No.
I thought he's going to be cool, but he's just...
Yeah, I'm cool.
Steve's cool.
He's cool. Do you smoke? It's not cool to smoke now. You have to vape. Do you know vaping? Yeah, right. How often do you experiment with your hair?
Every day.
Every day. It's working for Gary. I would say my hair is as I got out of bed, and you probably realise it. How often do you look? How often do you look in the mirror? To be cool, you've got to be looking in the mirror, just keeping that lipstick, if you wear it, gentlemen and ladies, to make sure. Now, this is what surprised me. I ended up at 55%. I couldn't. Now, here is the antidote. It's just coming up on screen. This is the important bit, you see. Please to be uncool. Are you with this? This is a shock for you coolies. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Puts everything else a bit into the shade, doesn't it? Apart from Joanna Lumley. But nearly everything else goes into the shade against that sort of assessment. And as worryingly, you see, I didn't think that I'd be that cool, really. I thought that I'd be totally uncool. There's only 100%, and it's a couple. Do you know who it is? You're on the money, you're cool. The Beckhams. Yes, they are 100%. So if you're 99, you're very close to the Beckhams. Yeah. But do find that little thing on the internet and then read the Word of God, which says, be not conformed to this world. We shouldn't be, should we? But on the other hand, we want to look smart and tidy. Of course we do. It's not honouring to God to be otherwise. Let me turn over to the next thing. It's not, are we there? Oh, yes. You know this little thing, don't you? It's not what you think you are, but what you think you are. It's a strange little phrase, isn't it? But can you see that? You know, I think I'm tall. But it's not what I think I am. It's actually what I am, isn't it? Not tall. Now, the mind actually thrives on these things. If we can think of things that are true, if we can think of things that are honest, if we can think of things that are just and pure and lovely and of a good report, that's what God is asking us to do, to concentrate our minds in that area. Now, the BBC puts on fantastic dramas. You know, you can't criticize the quality of the drama. But I don't know if you've noticed, of recent times, they are very, very dark. Very, very dark, and I can no longer watch them. And it's strange, isn't it? Because this television drama is having an impact on my mind, and it sort of interrupts my sleep. Now, Phoebe can watch them because she's tough. And she says, what a wimp. Why can't you watch that? But I can't, and I know I can't, and I stop. So I'm not putting people off, you know, don't watch BBC dramas because they're too dark. What I'm saying is that we have to know what affects our minds. And all your minds are different. Your minds may be slightly different to mine. In fact, they may be a long way off mine. But we have to be mindful of what does us harm. And I do long for the BBC dramas without that dark side. Why do we have to have that dark side? But that's just a personal thing. And then if I say, for a moment, think of something that's lovely. Just in your mind, think of something that's lovely. Not Joanna Lumley. Think of something that's lovely. And you see, you're already beginning to smile. I can see it's breaking out. Michael's trying to stop. No, he is. He's smiling. Because when you start to think that, can you see how it changes our mind? And this is the God-given word. So if you're still looking for that one person who will change your life, take a look in the mirror. Isn't that lovely? Now, where are we now? Oh, yes. Let us go on to the next one. Sometimes when we look in the mirror, you may see a sad face, and it's probably yours. And the great biblical characters, some of them suffered from depression. Have you read the Psalms? Have you seen where David has been? You know, okay, so it was fine when he was having victory over giants, but then when he was in a cave penned up by Saul, you can feel how the depression and this great man is beginning to grind. And so we're probably lesser beings than David, must recognize that there will be times when we will feel depressed. It'd be lovely to ask a question here, but I wouldn't want to embarrass you. Is there anybody in here who has never had a moment of depression? Because that would be absolutely incredible. So it's a real world thing that we need to deal with and we need to manage. 1 in 6 of us will suffer that in the next few months. So that's a sort of a statistic. Now let's tell you a little story. We went on holiday to Spain. Phoebe Clark shouted ole, and we were there. But before we went, I was doing some work with a lithium iron rechargeable drill. Does that mean something to people? You know, it's one with a big battery pack on it, and it's very heavy. And it fell off a shelf, only about that high, and it broke me toe. Oh, the pain. My daughter was in the garage, and she reported to my wife, "I'm amazed Dad didn't even swear." Now, isn't that amazing? But you see, God looks in the mind, doesn't he? He looks in the heart. Yes, I'm not sure what he heard there. You see, not everything on the outside. So I broke my toe, and we were going to Spain. This was on the Saturday. We were going to Spain on the Monday. And I took my shoe off, and black and blue. It was horrible. But strangely enough, after a day, it didn't hurt that much. So I said, okay, we'll go to Spain. Now, after we'd been there a few days, I didn't know I'd broken my toe, by the way. I should have said that to start with. After a few days, there was this little red thing that came up my foot, like a little snake. And I said to my wife, "I've got a little snake crawling up my leg inside it." She looked concerned, and she said, "What shall we do?" I said, "Well, what do men do? It'll be all right in time. We'll ignore it." Yes, that's the best way, isn't it? Ignore it. And then gradually it got up my calf, it came round my knee, and it got up as far as my groin. And it was like a big, red, thick snake. And I said, we've got some cream in the cupboard. I'll put that on it. But Phoebe was on the internet, and she said, "You've got cellulitis." I had never had cellulitis before. Why should I have it now? And it became an emergency, and we had to go to a Spanish clinic, wonderful place, because they're like shops, you know, Spanish clinics. You can go to the health people, you know, if you got your e-hit card. But we went to this clinic, and the problem of talking, you know, but we got over there. Phoebe had got my picture of my leg on her iPad, which is a very handy piece of technology, which I don't have, but when you're cool, you have that. And she showed it to the receptionist and said, "This is the problem." And he said, "You need pediatrics." What had happened is the picture had turned over and the twins had appeared. This is what happens in real life, isn't it? So he turned it back again and he said, "Oh, yes." And I had emergency treatment. They x-rayed my foot and they said, "You've broken your toe." I said, "But it didn't hurt. You've broken your toe." The worrying bit was my blood pressure. Do you know about blood pressure? You're of the age where you're interested in it, aren't you? 220 over 140.
Oh, dear.
Apparently, that is close to being serious. And this clinic gave me these massive doses of antibiotics. Massive. Every 4 hours, I was having these antibiotics. Now, I was actually completely spaced out. And I'll tell you how serious it was. I was lying on the sofa watching daytime television. You know you've got serious illness when you're doing that. And I'd keep coming round, and I wasn't really, it was just so tired, I couldn't cope with it, couldn't cope with the tiredness. And from where we were staying, you could see out to the hills just behind Mijas, the Spanish hills. And this is where this thing came to me, you see. It's time for a 1-2-1. Do you get the link there? Psalm 1-2-1. A time for a communication with one's maker, because I'm feeling quite depressed. And I kept looking up there to the hills. And this is why I've written it like this. I will try to look to the hills for help. Because when you're like that, when you're in a depressed state, it is difficult to do, isn't it? And I kept, every time I come around, for some reason, first thing I saw was the hills. And I kept trying to look to the hills. I will remember help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who can paint a village white overnight. He will not let you fall. He does not fall asleep. The Lord is your protector. He will protect your soul and will always protect you as you come and go. That's Psalm 1-2-1. Now, I'm not making this a panacea, because the word of God will work differently. And it just happens. I'm laying on a sofa and the hills are coming and I'm being reminded of this. But we need a 1-2-1 with God. Sometimes we need medication to get over these things. There isn't the silver bullet. But in this case, the word of God was more like the antibiotic. Can you see? It was the process of seeing it time and time again. I can only just pass that on to you. That's just a recent experience that I hope you will find helpful, because, as I say, I'm not pretending that anything suddenly happens, but the word of God for the mind is a very transforming thing. And now, you'll be pleased to know we're coming to the last slide. Looking through new glasses. Did you know that conjunctivitis is a sight for sore eyes? Looking through new glasses. I'll tell you another little story here. This is things that happen in life, because we're not perfect. As a preacher, I should come in here and say, and I read the word of God, and everything was right, and we all went home happily ever after. Doesn't work like that. God deals with us as individuals. Sometimes he does. You know, people have miraculous cures and things. Sometimes we have to learn through a process. Now, when I was... I'm still working, but when I was a director of a housing association, the board wanted to get involved with something called PFI. Bad thing, Gary, PFI, I would say. Yeah, bad thing. Private finance initiative. And this is the thing where you build up a huge debt, it rolls up over 25 years, and you step back and say, let the next generation pay for it. It's not good. And the board wanted us to get involved in this, and I was instructed to. There was no way out of it. So I said, perhaps we could go into it gently. Perhaps we could do a bit of facilities management so we understand it. And they were persuaded at that point of view. So we went out and we found a business partner. The company he owned, he happened at the time to be number 10 on the Times Rich List. So he was quite wealthy. So he could deal with government, you see, wealthy enough to deal with government. And the Ministry of Defence was involved. And it was one of these things that we became something called the preferred bidder. So they kept talking to us. And the thing was that we never knew if we got the job or not. And they kept trying to trim the cost off. Competitors would do this, will you do that? And at some point, you know, you had to say no, because you didn't know how you'd been kidded on. But eventually, this was a 25-year deal. And I didn't like that sort of thing, because it binds the company into 25 years. And the other thing about it, it can go seriously wrong on you. But so we got this thing together, and the contract had sort of been twisted this way, had been twisted that way. One of the interesting things, because it was facilities management for housing, was the Ministry of Defence had amongst its regulations that grass will be maintained at 32 millimetres at all times. And I said, that's not possible. Sometimes, you know, when you cut it, it'll be 32 millimetres, but then it will grow. And I had to go to the Ministry of Defence because no contractor had ever refused before. And I said, but it's not practical. So they did agree to change the term. Can you see the sort of the bother of it all? And it was for me to sign off. Now, just before we were going on holiday with my brother and sister-in-law, our group surveyor came to me, and he was a lovely man, a lovely Christian man, and he was a man of great integrity and honesty. He said, and the last change which you've just signed off, we left out the profit margin of 15%. And of course, I was devastated. He said, I will go to the board, it's my fault. I said, no, I'm the one who signs it off, I'll have to go to the board, but it'll be after I get back from holiday. Can you imagine what my mind was like on holiday? And it kept churning round and round, and this is something that came to mind. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Sounds good, doesn't it? Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, I honestly believe that, but I honestly didn't believe it in these circumstances. I thought, there is no way out of it. I have to go to the board, because that's what directors have to do. You have to tell the board exactly what's happened. And I'll either get a reprimand or dismissed, you know, because 25 years this thing is rolling up. And I thought, I kept thinking at night, kept waking up, you know, thinking of ways, how could it go right? It cannot go right. I've signed it off. They've gone with it. It's, the job is on the way. And so, with there's all this turmoil, and knowing this, I thought, what's the answer? And I thought, oh, it's probably sangria. And I tried some of that, and it didn't make a scrap of difference. In fact, it made things worse. Be warned. Never go that way. And I was trying to smile all day long, because we were on holiday, and everybody was having fun, and I was still wrestling with this problem. Got back, and I hadn't been back very long, and the chief accountant came in, and he says, Jonathan, on that contract, I'm sorry, we made an error. Oh, no. Group surveyor, and I understood why, and I'd signed it off. Group surveyor had left off the 15% profit margin, and I said, what's the impact on it? He said, we accidentally added 17.5% VAT on twice. Now, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I could not believe it. So when I went to the board meeting, I was feeling quite chipper, you see, because this was not going to be a reprimand or a dismissal. So I said to the board, on that PFI contract, good news and bad news. And so they said, what's the bad news? I said, we left off 15%. Profit margin. So what's the good news? We added on 17.5%. So we're making 2.5% more than... And we don't know how it got through the Ministry of Defence and the 10th richest man in the UK. But the Word of God comes through. And I'm not pretending to you that these circumstances always work out like that. But when God does a miracle, because I'm a rationalist, I'm very, very, very difficult to persuade me of a miracle. But when God does one like that, one has to be persuaded. So, dearly beloved, starting with the man or the woman in the mirror next week, I trust that some of this will come back to you and the song will haunt you. May God bless his word to us.